performance information of the department. And basically what this slide is doing is just indicate to the committee that the 2010-11 financial year in the department was a mixture of achievements and challenges that the department experienced. Achievements in the sense of the development of offenders that has received a lot of attention, and in the main because of the assistance that we received from our partners in corrections. Also, overcrowding levels, if you look at bullet number 4, has been reduced, and the department has sustained that over a number of years. Our challenges still remain in resources that we need. So that is in the main what the slide number 3 is talking to. The downward trend that we had in escapes has not been maintained in that particular year, and that was basically because of one incident of mass escape that lifted that number of escapes in this particular financial year. Slide 4 is just an explanation of how we have reported in that financial year 2010-11, and that is because in our strategic plan we had a separation between what the responsibilities of the national office was and what the regions had to do. So in our reporting we have also reflected in that way, combined the two, and this slide 4 is just an explanation for that type of reporting. Then if we go to the program, the budget programs that we have, that we had in 2010-11, starting with program administration first, and then in particular starting with finance, highlighted in this slide is that in 2010-11, the department had an under expenditure, and as you can see, moving from 9-10, where we had an expenditure of 98.9%, to 95.3% in the 2010 financial year. Also highlighted on the slide is bullet number 3, the qualifications on asset or movable tangible assets that the department had. And the slide also indicates that corrective measures that have been put in place in terms of dealing with the qualifications. Corporate services is another sub-program within program administration. And what we have illustrated here, Chair, in terms of the achievement for 2010-11 was that bullet number 2 of an approved establishment of 47,336, there was a vacancy rate of 15.28%. But we need to draw your attention to the second part of that bullet, and that is that we had a funded establishment of 41,500. And if we compare then the vacancy rate against the funded bullet, the department had a vacancy rate of 3.4% in 2010-11. In terms of grievances, 208 of the 421 grievances finalized within the 30 days, and that is the standard that the department has set. So there was a 49.4% compliance in that regard. Suspensions, that was 52.5 days at a cost of 13.9 million. The equivalent in rand with regard to days lost in terms of suspension. I'm not going to attend to that last bullet on every slide of the budget programs, because that is just mentioning of what has already been focused on in the annual performance plan for the next year. So when we get to the strategic plan presentation and the annual performance plan, we will highlight those issues again. The next program is then our sub-program central services, under which litigation and fraud and corruption is being dealt with. So in terms of litigation cases against the department, 153 cases in favor of DCS and 47 cases against DCS. So that is functioning at 5.56% above the target that was set for the department in the 2010-11 financial year. Fraud and corruption, the Departmental Investigation Unit had a success rate of 91.26% against a target of 90% that was set. A significant achievement, Chair, within that financial year was the focus on the branch, the newly established branch, PAXA and SADC, that focused on formalized regional and continental international relationships. We can go to the next slide. It's still showing the development within that new branch, the various bilaterals within the SADC region, in terms of cooperation that has been established. And then moving then to information communications area, where we can report that there was 100% readiness of the virtual private network that we envisage, as well as the communication strategy that have been envisioned for that financial year. Under management, that's the last sub-program under the program administration, we had a compliance inspection or compliance improvement inspection, and that just shows the results for the national office and the region. In the national office, there was an overall improvement from 80% in the previous year to 82% compliance in the 2010-11 financial year, where in regions there was a decline from 83% compliance to 81%. That deals with program administration, Honorable Chairperson and Member. Moving to the next budget program, security. The first two bullets indicate an increase in assaults against the previous financial year. So in 2010-11, we had an increase in assault, and then, as already mentioned, the increase in escapes, if we measure it against the previous, the 2009-10 financial year. So the 106 that the Honourable Members would see there in 2010-11, that in the opening slide we have already indicated that that was due to a mass escape incident that pushed those numbers up. Unnatural deaths, there we had a decline from the 2009-10 financial year to the 2010-11 financial year, 50 in the 2009-10 financial year and 51 there was also an increase, sorry for that, in the unnatural death. The one issue that was said that we're going to focus on is strategies in dealing with suicides in our correctional centres. And again, the focus on that will be explained when we go to the annual performance plan, the strategic plan for 2012-13. The next budget program is corrections. That's on slide number 12. Again, Chair, I just repeat what has been said in the opening slide, that as a department, we have managed in 2010-11 to down-manage overcrowding. From in 2009-10, 38% to 34.87%, or rather in 2010-11, we have moved from 38% to 34% overcrowding. So the downward trend in managing overcrowding is maintained within the department. There was also an improvement in offenders participating in corrections programs. The target was exceeded in 2009-10 by 7.8%, but in the 2010-11, it was exceeded by an improvement of 161% of offenders participating in corrections programs. And a significant achievement in 2010-11 under program corrections is the development with regard to the separation of remand detainees from sentence offenders. So the legislative framework has been completed and approved by Parliament in that regard. We move to slide number 13. Again, these issues that's been highlighted to say that this is what we're going to concentrate on moving forward. It's explained in the annual performance plan for 2012-13, and we will emphasize that when we get to that again. Program care on slide number 14. Here we have reported in 2010-11 that more offenders have been put on antiretroviral treatment against the 2009-10 financial year. There was a marginal decline in the number of offenders tested HIV positive in 2010-11, and the one challenge that's been highlighted on this slide is the vacancy rate in the SCARE skills under program care. The vacancy rate for social workers in 2010-11 was at 38%, psychologists 50%, nurses 26%, medical practitioners 26%, and pharmacists 37%. So, yeah, much as we have had some achievements there, there's still the challenge of attracting SCARE skills in regard of care. Moving to slide 15, development of offenders. Here, the department has had huge successes in the sense of community partners assisting the department in the development of offenders. However, there was a dramatic decrease in the participation of skills development. That is bullet number 4. And we have given the explanation there. The decline was due to refining reporting in skills development to ensure that double counting does not take place. So you will also note that in the next year, that is the current annual report, that process has been refined so that we don't count offenders more than once when they participate the same offender in different programs, but it is about that. Participation of a particular offender in various programs. So yes, that is why there was a decline. The target of involving offenders in activities in production workshops was not achieved in 2010-11, and the main reason for that was the artisans' positions that have not been filled, and we need qualified artisans to be active in the production workshops when we train the offenders. If we move to slide number 16, dealing with social integration, Honorable Chairperson and members, we had a decrease in parole violations in the 2010-11 financial year. You will also note that when you go to our performance indicators, that we have changed this indicator to be more positive. Previously, we focused on the number of offenders who violated their parole conditions. We've changed that indicator to reflect a positive one and focus on the offenders who do not violate their parole conditions. So here in 2010-11, we say we had a decrease in parole violations by the offenders. We also had an increase in bullet number 2 in cases that were referred to the parole review board. But I think very significant is bullet number 3, where we had more victims of crime involved in presentations during parole settings. In 2019, we had 83 victims that made representations during parole settings, and in 2010-11, we had 253 victims. And we say that although the figure is still low, this is a vast improvement from the previous financial year, given the challenges that we had in tracing victims and getting victims involved in parole settings. We can then move to the last of the 7 budget programs the department had in 2010-11, and that is facilities. Honorable Chairperson and members, in 2009-10, we had a total number of 2,880 new bed spaces that were created, mainly through the completion of the new Kimberley facility. In 2010-11, we didn't have any new bed spaces created, although we planned for that. The sub-bullets below give you an indication of the projects that would have been completed in 2010-11 and created then more bed space. It was not completed. Runplay at that stage was at 98%, Van Reinsdorp 74%, and Sierras of Warrenbosch at 63% completion, Sanin at 25%. A number of those projects have been completed in the meantime, but not for the 2010-11 reporting period. So, colleagues, Honourable Chair and members, you will find that in the 2012-13 annual performance plan, these correctional facilities are being reflected again on, and the additional bed space that will be created by the completion of these centres. That deals with the performance within the 7 budget programs the department had within the 2010-11 financial year. There's an additional component to the presentation that focuses on the findings on performance information by the Auditor General of South Africa. And just to give you a summary of that slide, in the main what the auditors were saying was that there was no logical link between the reported objectives, indicators, and targets. The reporting cannot be substantiated. In other words, no pile of evidence, according to the auditors, and then inconsistency in reporting against the indicators. And the final one, in summary, reasons for variances between what we've planned and what we've achieved. So the department's response to that is that given those audit findings, the department then developed an action plan in dealing with those issues or the findings identified by the auditors, and we as a department, we have moved in dealing with those audit findings. As you will see also in the annual performance plan for 12-13, we also indicated that as an indicator to perform against. And some of the measures implemented by the department will also be reflected in the next presentation. Honourable Chairperson, that deals with the first part of the presentation on the annual report for 2010-11 by the department. The part B deals with the financial information in terms of the 2010-11 financial year, and the CFO will take that.
Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. Chairperson, this slide to slide number 28 is the summary of the material underspending of the department, of which I will try to analyse as much as I can. Chairperson, in terms of the material underspending of the department, it was mainly made by three main categories of categories of the department. The first one, you'll notice that in each and every program that you'll notice till the last program, which is the facility, from program one to program six, the major thing that caused to underspend, it was the compensation of employees as well as CETA. But when it comes to the infrastructure to program seven, it was the matter of the work because of Department of Works. If Chairperson, I will start to say how much is material underspending when you talk about the compensation of employees. The compensation of employees, the underspending alone was 365 million. Whereas when you look at goods and services, it was 83 million. for facilities alone was 262 million. If all you add all those one, it contributes mainly to 728. I'm not going slide by slide, Chairperson, unless the members will want me to go slide by slide. Okay. So that is the reason, Chairperson, why I'm saying I'm not going to slide. Thank you, Honourable Member. What I think I must do, let me go through page by page, but in a very summary form. On page one, of which it's page number 22, it's just a summary of the understanding. Okay. What was our understanding, material understanding, which was 728, in terms of the percentage, it's 95.28. In page 23, it's where we are analyzing those understanding to see what led to those understanding. The overall understanding was 4.72%. Under administration, the main contributor to that understanding was the compensation of employees together with CETA. Chairperson, I will need to clarify why we are saying the major contribution was CETA as well. You will find that most of the time it takes a long time for CETA to sign the service level agreement, as well as the documentation that one receives from CETA. You find that the documentation that we receive does not able to allow us to pay. It does not give us all the proper supporting documentation. And program security, the major contributor there as well is the compensation of employees. Under development and care, the contributor there is the compensation of employees as well. Development and care, the main contributor there is the material that was paid, but it was not paid. And under the facilities, as I indicated, that the major amount is 253. But that one, the attribution to that one was the Department of Works, Chairperson, because we don't receive the information on time. We are even battling, as I'm speaking right now, Chairperson. We are even battling in terms of Department of Works. We even asked our portfolio committee to intervene in terms of that. Because if I can take Chairperson in history, you'll find that on the same year, we requested a rollover from Treasury because of the work that was not finalized and the poor workmanship that was done. And then we said to the department, we can't go and pay 253 million for the work that is not up to standard. So we have to make sure that the work, the department is certified. We have to request the rollover from Treasury, of which that rollover was based on the commitment that Webster has told us that by the end of June, that work could be finished and then we must pay them. But when Treasury authorized that rollover, and with conditions to say by the end of August, that money should have been paid. But each and every month, Chairperson, we've been engaging with them. They never did that work till the money that was the rollover suspended back to $20. Because our argument is to say we can't pay that we can't see. We need to pay when we are ready. So that is we are having a very big problem when it comes to this. Chairperson, this is page number 25. And also, Chairperson, in terms of economic classification, although I already indicated that page 26 is the compensation of employee, which is amounting to 365, that is contributing to the major underspending, 100 million, which is under goods and services, payment for capital asset, as I indicated, that is 262. But the amount of debt, 262 million, is made out of the bigger part is that 253 million. Chairperson, the other part of the presentation is the table of those the explanation that I've given. We have a program. The following one will be economic classification. The next slide. Chairperson, on this one, I think probably the members will turn around with me because I would like to take the members more or less lower because I need to explain exactly to the members where we're coming from. Chairperson, during the year 2010, the department was qualified based on those things, all those four items. Chairperson, the department made sure that by the end of 2010-2011 financial year, all those items get cleared, those audit findings, those which led to the qualification. How did we do that? Chairperson, looking at the nature to say opening balance of assets is a problem. It was clear to us that it means the proper asset verification out there, each and every center, is not done properly. That's the first analysis that we did. Looking at the second one again, I will explain what we did there. Looking at the second one, existence of assets. The question that Chairperson that one asked, if we don't know about the existence of our assets, who should know? It still boils down again to the verification of assets. To know what assets do I have. This asset register that I have is properly analyzed. That's the first thing, the first question that one has. The third one was the valuation of assets. Chairperson, on that one again, we are asking ourselves to say the credibility of our financial statement was correct if the valuation of assets was not good. Because, Chairperson, I will make an example. One of, during the time, our assets, one of the assets were valued at 3.5 million. Only one car. One car was valued at that. What does that mean? It means that our financial statements were overstated. That's where we are. The fourth one was the misclassification of assets. Where you find on the asset register, the cars are mixed with the furniture, everything is mixed all together. Then I had to approach the National Commissioner and the Minister to say, we need to make sure that all these four areas are not there. We needed to hire the intern and a very robust to say, each and every center in the country, we need to do the asset verification for each and every center so that we'll know what happened to that one. At the same time, when we are doing that chairperson, I created a team of three DCs, including myself, to say, while they are doing that asset verification, we're also going there at random to each and every center. We asked them to do the asset verification because we wanted to find out exactly what type of assets do we have, which assets that are belonging to us, which assets that are belonging to West, whatever. That asset verification was conducted, Chairperson. At the end of January 2011, I asked for the reconciliation to say, okay, fine, let me see that report before I sign it off. That asset verification. Because we did not want to take our word as DCS to say these things are being corrected. I asked the team from National Treasury, from the Office of the Accountant General, to say, okay, fine. Before the auditors come, Auditor General, can you go and do the pre-audit for me? do as if you are Auditor General. Come and report to see how things have been done. Indeed, Chairperson, at the end of February 2011, Treasury came in and gave us the report to say, no, all these things that you were complaining about, it's been sorted out. By the time AG starts, definitely I had that confidence that definitely these things it won't be going to be appearing to our audit report. Then AG started the audit, and then indeed they did not find anything around this area. Okay? But when you look in terms of 2010-2011, then the new problem started, of which Chairperson really, it's not only in this earth. I think this problem, it helped even National Treasury themselves, because no one ever thought that this problem will occur. That is the system that has been used, which is called LOGIS, which is all our assets are there. It got a shortfall of not accounting for interstate transfers. If you look to the Department of DCS, it's a very huge department. It got a lot of interstate transfer from the region to the other center. But when you look to the system itself, logically, the non-cash additions, when you transfer from one store to another, it looks like it's the duplication. It is the duplication when you look to the system. Whereas it's not. It looks like you are adding the new assets. Whereas it's not. Now, that was the problem that we engaged. The same problem, it will happen to the disposal. Because if I'm disposing something, transfer something from one store to another, it will be if that store transfer again, it will be if it's a duplication again, of which it's not. That asset is one is for DCS. When I'm transferring the asset on the management area to the center, I'm still transferring the asset of DCS. I did not add any asset at all. But the system, if you look to the system, it looks like it's a duplication. Because we must remember when AG doing the audit, they don't, although the net value will be correct when you take a non-cash addition and a non-cash disposal, it gives you the correct value. But when AG do the audit, they go to the individual notes. That's where the problem lies. When we encounter that problem, National Treasury during the audit, they engage with the auditors to say, no, fine, the department must able to estimate how much it costs by this non-store addition. Chairman, in the department, we made it very clear to say we cannot estimate this figure because it would be look like we are massaging the figures for the sake of getting the unqualified. When we get the unqualified, we must be proud of that everything is correct. So we can't massage the figure. Then what we have done, Chairperson, when after that, we engage ourselves with the National Treasury in order to make sure that they are dealing with the problem, because this system, the transversal system, belong to Treasury. It's not belonging to the department. And also the problem of the framework. The framework is coming from the Office of the Accountant General. We asked the Treasury to say they must also include these interstate transfers because they were not there. They were not there on the framework that is used by Auditor General. The other thing that we asked as a department to say, okay, what we need to do in order to improve. Chairperson, as the members might know, that to deal with the system, it might take quite a long time. But our target is one, is to get the unqualified like any other department. But if we can wait for Treasury to say, fix this problem, it might change. Because we have already been told by Sojourn to say, phase one will be ready by the end of January. But as I'm saying, as I'm sitting here today in May, the phase one that was supposed to be finished in January is not yet finished. So if I waited for Sojourn, I would have not where I am today. Then I ask myself, what is the alternative to deal with this? The alternative was to let's deal with manually. Let's reconcile this interstore transfer manually on a monthly basis. Let's do the reconciliation. The other thing that we've done as a department to say, why do we have to wait at the end of the financial year to say there is a problem? Let's start preparing this financial statement on a monthly basis so that we can pick up the problem within that particular month, and then we know that the problem is get solved immediately. That's what we designed the team for, in order to make sure that this problem gets done. But there was another problem when you want to achieve that, to say, look at a backlog for many years, to say, how am I going to reconcile those interstores that happened long time ago? Because it will affect my opening balance. And then we said, let's issue the letter to all management areas to say, let's stop interstore transfers. But before we issue that letter, we ask ourselves to say, what will happen to our operation? How are we going to survive? How are we going to put in controls there? We said the best control, in order for us to know what happened each and every center, every transfer that will take place, each and every region must write to us and get to us the approval, so that we wanted to kill two birds in one stone on that one. At the same time, we'll have the documentation. When it comes at the end of the year, we'll count how many stores, how many interstores transfers that were done. At the second time, we want to verify the information that is on that template, on that spreadsheet, to say, is it corresponding with the supporting document that we have? That is what we also did. We stopped that, and then Chairperson, I'm very pleased by now to say, it looks like as at the end of March, it's been reconciling. The only thing that we are waiting for is to wait for AG to do the audit. But I have to highlight, Chairperson, that when we appear to the scoper, AG was asked to do the audit during the interim audit around this area. So on the interim audit, they did not report to say, did they find any problem or if this spreadsheet is not working. That is where it is in terms of that. Chairperson, the other areas that we have not led to qualification now, to the emphasis of matter, was three issues. One issue was in terms of unauthorized expenditure for the previous year, and the other one, it was the material understanding, as I was indicating. The other one was the material losses. Chairperson, if I can start to the unauthorized expenditure, I'm very pleased to this committee that as we are speaking right now, we managed to clear that one. It's no longer there. As Auditor General will be doing this audit this financial year, that one is gone, because the President approved that at the end of February, and then we managed to generalize it. But we paid that one was processed within our funding. The other one, Chairperson, was the material understanding. As the members might remember, that anything more than 3% is regarded as a material understanding. As at the end of the year of this year, The department only had 1.9% understanding. Only 1.9%, which is not regarded as material understanding. Chairperson, those one, I think, those two, it will be more or less resolved. But the other one, Chairperson, that is still a challenge is the material losses. Material losses. Chairperson, in the terms of that material losses, is in terms of the amount that we are writing it off. In terms of those amounts, Chairperson, it will take much longer. The reason being, Chairperson, it was quite a backlog in terms of, if not mean that is the new cases, is the old cases. That is not been written off and analyzed properly. And then now we ask the investigators to say, let us go and investigate fully in terms of before we write it off. PSMA is clear, saying, do everything in your power. Try everything in order to make sure that this amount before you write it off. Okay? If the fund comes to me, to the CFO, to say, approve this to be written off, I can't just approve it for the sake of approving. I need to be convinced to say, everything has been done. Who was involved? Everything, to take each and every step. So those amounts, each year, you'll find in the next 2 to 3 years, you'll find that there will be amount that will be written off. Most patients, when you look in terms of cars, because you ask quite a number of questions when you look of cars, to say, who was involved? Was properly authorized? Who was doing this investigation? This person is authorized to do the investigation. Why they ask for the rollover? All those things, it takes time. So that one, we are working on it. As the chairperson, you might see that regions are reporting monthly to me to make sure that I need to see the progress, what is actually happening. And also, what we have done, we did a roadshow to the region to make sure that we need to educate them how they should be driving these cars, and also to offer the training. We asked the assistant of the transport department to go with us to do the training so that they will know that people must be accountable with the asset of the government. That is what we are in terms of this chairperson. In terms of which one? Okay. In terms of CETA and the facilities, chairperson, of this one, I remember when the first week we come to this committee, we were 1 week old, 2010 May, if I remember. We were only 1 week old at that time. But immediately we had arranged a meeting with CETA because it was clear what the problem is. The proper SLAs was not done. The proper invoicing was not done. It was quite a lot of duplication of invoices. Now, we have engaged with CETA for quite a long time, repeatedly, to make sure that we must try by all means to make sure that the SLAs are signed on time so that by the beginning of each and every year in April, we got a full supporting documentation and the proper invoicing is done. In terms of the vacancy chairperson, all these positions, all the positions for SMS, as we are speaking here, if this committee will remember, we appeared the last time and then a lot of position was an acting position on our first page. But we are proud to say, Chairperson, as we are speaking right now, those positions, all of them are filled. We also make sure that Chairperson, instead of taking one intake each year we are increasing the intake to two years in terms of make sure that all the our positions are in line. Chairperson, I think in terms of the slide, okay, the other thing that I would like to highlight, Chairperson, is the bullet five, because it is clear to us that Department of Works is not doing what we think it should be to help us. Because on the other hand, we are having this understanding, but when you look to our facilities, it does not look like, because our facilities are pulling down. We engaged the commissioner engaged the professional expertise, the advisor who is advising the national commissioner in terms of the facilities. And also the other thing, the engagement that is done is to engage with IDT in order to ensure that to capacitate the work that is done by the works. Chairperson, in terms of that slide, I think that is the thing that I can highlight at this point in time. Chairperson, what I've noticed, we noticed as a department, DCS cannot work in Ireland. We managed to forge the relationship with the Treasury on an ongoing basis, not at random, on an ongoing basis, to say, let's sign the strategic support plan. Why we are doing that? Why we are doing that? Because it's clear to us right now that some of the problems are not the problem that is solely for the department. Some is created by the system itself. Some is created by the system itself. So immediately, when we pick up that problem, we will deal with it and sort it out immediately. So that is what our engagement with the Treasury. And another thing, Chairperson, which was a very, very big challenge, it's in terms of people that are within finance, where you find that some, they don't have commercial qualification, as also well as the relevant experience. You find that a person is sitting in finance, but because it's center-based, when you ask about something in finance, no, I'm not accountable for this, let me go back to the center. Now you are left alone. What we said, the proper qualification in finance is required. All people that we are hiring now, we make sure that we hire the correct people in order to make sure that we are improving on all these things that have been happening to the department. Thank you, Chairperson. That is where we are in terms of the department. That is where we come from for the past 22 months till today. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, we have given you a very high level presentation on the annual report. We are aware of the fact that it has been fast paced, but we believe that with the presentation that we gave you, there may be questions that you might want to raise with us, clarifications, and the team is here before we move into the next part of the presentation, the strategic plan. Thanks, Chairperson.
And continue the next presentation. We have questions and this presentation. The honourable member requests to ask his questions now, and I will afford him that opportunity. Honourable Joseph.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Honourable Chair, thank you, and thank you for the presentation. I just felt that I probably want to ask the questions now with all the information that we are getting. I wanted to know the corporate services on the first part of the presentation, there was a downward trend on the escape area. I wanted to know if there's a particular province I'm sure you speak about a national perspective you're giving us here. I wanted to know if there are particular provinces or regions that gives you that contributes to this downward trend. You know, is it a management problem in a particular province or region that pushes your stats up or doesn't allow your stats to come down? And then I also have noted that you had 771 grievances in that one slide. I wanted to know what was the main kind of grievances you experienced in your department. And then you have litigation cases, about 200 litigation cases, of which 153 was in favor and 47 against. I would like to know, are you referring to litigation at the at labor courts? Is that the level you are referring to if you talk about litigation? And of course, that includes appeals as well, you know, after appeals has been done. And then just one or two comments, Mr. Chair. I noted the one slide refers to overcrowding, and it was this morning I just followed up on the papers, but it was taken by the President that there will be sort of discount of years to serve. And the paper says 30%, if the President's Freedom Day statement on prisoners is implemented, which means then it will actually look slightly better than your 34% that you refer to in the report. The concern is the vacancy rate, the various categories, and in particular your artisans, which you've mentioned there. I mean, the people are there for corrective action, to be rehabilitated. And if you say to me you're struggling to fill artisans' vacancies, that means there's less opportunity for skills development, rehabilitation, and corrective action while the inmate is there. And obviously it must affect that outcome as well, which initially why you are there for in the first place. And then on the second part of that, on your particular presentation, the underspending, and your spending is still 95.28, which is reasonably good, but I still wanted to know, Mr. Chair, what was your actual target that you set for yourself in terms of dealing with your spending or underspending, and how do you want to manage it and improve on it? Because I believe if you do not have a target, you will just go on, you know, without setting that. And then the payments that you refuse to make, you know, with your engagements with Treasury and Public Works and the service providers, I would like to know if you're not able to break your payments up. You know, if you build a house, you have a foundation, the inspector comes, he checks it out, then you go up with your walls, then you do your roof. And on that basis, the bank even approves payments, you know, when you for your loans and so on, and to the builder. So I want to know, is it not possible that you can break up your payments? So when phases of that contract or work services is completed, that you then approve payments periodically based on progress, instead of waiting for the whole, if it's possible, job to be completed and then reject the whole payment or accept the whole job is done before you pay. And then on your asset verification, I'm sure you report on time, but I think the AG's report on non-cash items or transfer of items, I'm not sure whether the AG is telling you beforehand what is expected before you, or whether they just come in, because what I hear you that said was something new you discovered, and I'm not happy with that, because how do you know what to manage against their expectation of performance if you do not know what it is, you know? So I think they should also be open, and although they play an important role to guide what is the standard they are setting in terms of AG reports. And then the last thing which I think is a concern, public works. All departments, Mr. Chair, all the departments in the government is struggling with public works, not delivering what they should deliver it on, and to fix the outcome of all the departments, whether they must build a school or a clinic or hospital. And I think it's not fair towards the correctional service also, if they struggle to get the necessary support from public works. I think the department we need to call for further investigations there. And then my last comment is that the prison or the correctional service, it reflects, it's a mirror, the status of the country. It surely does that. And I think we need to understand that when we deal with this department, there is flow of information between the community, the government, and the institution that represents government in dealing with prison or correctional services. So I think that the problem must just realize that. I saw it in your vision and mission, but I think it's just important that all the staff is always conscious of that. That what has happened there is a mirror, it's a reflection on the status of the country, whether we are moving forward in terms of people's behavior, in terms of our projection outside to the community, the status of society that ends up in your department. So I think it's just important that we take note of that. And in the past, I must say, I hope it's better now, but the previous minister, Balfour, has had political interference in your department. And I think that is one of the reasons why you went down and you're trying to pick it up again. And I'm speaking as the previous ward councillor of Ward 71, which has had the jurisdiction of Portsmouth Prison. And I was very much aware of that political interference. And I hope it's been dealt properly now with the current minister. Thank you.
I guess, Chair, now we're taking questions on this.
Yes.
Now that we've allowed the member to say.
Yes.
And then, firstly, by saying, Chair, having been involved in the committee or in Parliament, I've never heard of any presentation on record that there were political interference from the minister. So I've been here quite a while, Chair. So it never came to any presentation in terms of our oversight work and everywhere. We don't have a record on that.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. I think we're not here to start the debate, but I think we're here to make our arguments and our comments to what we've heard and our view on it. I think I'm not accepting that the speaker, that the member is trying to comment on what I have said. We must comment on what we received, we heard from the department that is here. Thank you.
Chairperson, I'm making my view, and my view is I've never on record, having been a member of parliament, and I'm a senior to the previous member, I've never had that on record. It's not written anywhere. So that's my view. He's entitled to his view. He's made his view on record. I'm making my view on my own record as well. I've never referred to him. I'm just making my own statement. Thank you, Chair. Proceeding. Chairperson, I'll start with this one. I think it was 2009-10, we raised an issue on the internal structures, audit structures. I think that time they had an acting CFO, if I remember, or something of that sort. Chair, when the CFO and I think the other presenter presented the comments from the audit general, in terms of the findings, and issues like non-verification of assets or whatever it is, and I am wondering whether the audit committee at all, internal committee at all, worked, because now the strategy, the intervention strategy, had to be roadshows by the CEO and the DCs and the DCs themselves are managing. So to me, Chair, that talks to real performance, productivity, performance, and non-function of internal structure. I would like to comment in as far as that is concerned, Chair. With regards to, and also, Chair, reserve the right to ask something that might have been shown, but I didn't hear what is the comparison on the 700-odd million. What is the comparison to a previous year of that one? Is it higher? Is it lower? And so we would like to hear that highlighted, Chair. as to what is it, because that points to a gainshare. I hear the problems, you know, perhaps if you've been here quite a while, not, I mean, more than 22 years, you get worried if you still get the same sort of concerns, public works, and only now that people are trying to the blaming the system as if we just started to just, babies just got born, you know. So is a matter of concern, Chair. And I know other departments have resolved some of these issues. They are only starting now to look at IDT. As I think the CFO was trying to say, if IDT could help and all this and all. And I thought that if the internal audit, Chair, comes back to that, if the structures and the managers were working, you know, to the level, they would have picked up the issues and would have devised, you know, some impact strategies, and perhaps we'll find that in this new performance plan that will be presented after this check. The same thing on gas skills. We've raised several times the issue of all other departments. We know social development, for instance, they had to do something in as far as trying to build this profession again, so, social workers and all. So we'd like to hear, Chair, because if you check what they are saying now in terms of the vacancies, they're quite high, Chair. I mean, nothing less 25%, I think, if I recall well from the presentation. You know, the percentages of this gas clause. And at that time, as the committee, we advised the department to really join the party in developing youngsters into this area and all of that. Now, Chair, I remember my colleague Gunda was quite at length with this issue on the compensation of workers, and I think even the unions. I don't know, Chair, but we seem not to get to the core of what is this issue on this underspending on compensation. Is there no strategy? Well, I mean, I'm not too sure, Chair, but I think I would like to hear even more why this continues to be something. At that time, you remember, it was like the reason given was a change of the shift system or something, and then we promised that thing would be turned around, and it looks like it's not turned around as yet, if we see this huge amounts on compensation of workers. And Chair, we raised the point quite strongly on the issues of morale, issues of attitudes by staff if compensation is not, if their benefits are not taken care of properly, Chair. I think let me stop here, Chair, because one or two other questions have slipped my mind. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Manzini.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I would like to applaud the presentation. I think it's a good one, and it seems as if the presenters know exactly what they are doing. But I'm a little bit worried when coming to suicide, which is still remaining as a challenge. What is it that now, or what plan are you having, let's say, to reduce this? As we see that the whole of South Africa is looking at you for good morale, in fact, and even when coming to the safety of the citizens and the like, what is it that you are having in order to reduce this escalating suicide? Or maybe what is the causal factor? What is it that you have, let's say, researched when coming to this increasing suicide and the like? One other thing is about the project not completed by the DPW. Department of Public Works. It seems as if maybe the Department of Public Works is dragging feet when coming to this issue. All the departments are looking at this Department of Works just to do their job and the like. So it seems as if maybe this department is failing, and also failing you when coming to do your things there. And one other thing, I'd like to applaud the significant improvement in resolving the deficiencies reported by the AGSA in the 2009-2010 audit report. That, in fact, is a good thing. But also worried when coming to material losses. And when we check that, the damage to state vehicles in terms of rent, where you said it's about 2.9 million, I think that is too much. Is there any plan that you are having just to reduce that number or that amount down? Thank you.
Norman Matila.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. Maybe the first issue, Chair, the disadvantage we have as a committee. And we'll then therefore then suggest that in future, when reports are sent to Parliament, because in most cases the NCOP will suffer, they will end up in the NA, we don't receive, and therefore we've not gone through your report as we speak now. That's the disadvantage we have, and we hope that in future we also make sure that we get those reports. That is the first area. The second area, I've not heard you actually dealing with issues that we raised in your last appearance before us, in as far as the last report was concerned. There are issues that we're trying to pick up and compare, you know, but there are recommendations that we made specifically to yourselves. You have not responded to those recommendations as yet, you see, in terms of the last reporting, because that will take us forward in as far as this particular budget is concerned that we're dealing with. Because it will tell us this you have resolved, this you didn't. And a clear example is around vacancies. Because I think what I hear you saying, you are trying to close in as far as senior management is concerned, not necessarily vacancies as we spoke about. You see? Because that is clear in terms of your reporting now, that it's still a problem. You know, Honorable Nzimande and some of the members have covered, they dealt with some of the issues that we raised previously. Because it seems the department did not look into those specific issues. I mean, the issue around skills was raised with yourself. And I think, you know, this issue always then comes back to us. That, you know, the problem of yourselves outsourcing specific programs within the department has an effect towards that. Because your focus then is around outsourcing or bringing in consultants to deal with specific issues rather than yourself closing those gaps. And at the same time, it then tells us that because you are aware that specific units or specific human personnel, you know, are being done redundant precisely because of these consultants or outsourcing. They are not doing their work. And maybe it's not necessary for you to employ to close the other gaps that are there. Which I think is the problem, because this has been raised. And it's a matter that is still haunting you, because it's daily in the newspapers around this outsourcing of specific programs. You see. And I think maybe let me leave it at there, because that's the disadvantage we have. We do not get a report. We're also not reporting back on that. We're looking at this specific situation anew. It's something like something very new to us. And we've been dealing with this thing for the past two years, which I think is a problem, because you are reporting on the same thing. And I think that is a concern the committee is raising. You are not showing us improvements around those specific areas. Thank you, Chair.
You can respond.
Chairperson, we will certainly, we certainly appreciate the questions raised. The team will respond to this. I'll ask the CFO to to tackle the issues of finance, and then of course the other colleagues will chip in to appropriately give you the responses on the matters raised. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. The first, what I would like to deal with is for the honourable member, from the understanding, then if do we have any target? Let me give a history. The honourable members, as they've seen the figures here, it's 728. Now, the question is, if you look to those figures, it looks like there is quite a number of things that was not done, of which I, as a CFO, I need to account for it. The target is to spend all the money that has been allocated to us. That is the target. But the norm, it should be not more than 3%, the norm. As I reported to this committee, that in 2010-2011, it was 728, but when I was closing the books now, I'm sitting at 318, of which it amounted to a percentage of 1.9%. Versus, if you look previously, it was 4.something%. But even that, Chairperson, that's 1.9%. One is not quite happy with it. Because we are seeing it's still a room of improvement. When I'm answering the other members, I will be able to elaborate why I'm saying it's still a room. That's the first question. The second one that the honorable member raised is the payment to the Department of Works. That we cannot break, why we don't break the payment. To be honest, honorable member, I cannot break that payment to the Department of Works. Why? Department of Works is a third party transaction. We engage Department of Works, and then the Department of Works engage the outside service provider. When they deal us, they have to bill us what they receive from that service provider. If I'm breaking that payment, it means I will be paying the part order. Once you're paying the part order, if Mr. Sokela is not there tomorrow, okay, and somebody else taking over, okay, that person might not know that I already paid for that part order. Because Department of Works itself, the intergovernment department, they are not doing the creator of reconciliation based on the statement. If Department of Works is submitting the statement to us, the monthly statement, then so that we can reconcile, then it would be a different story. But as I'm speaking here, I don't want to risk to pay for something that when I'm not there tomorrow, it would look like there is a fraud that's going on. That is what you see is taking place at the moment. The other question that the honorable member raised is in terms of AG. Did they know about these interstate transfers or not? Honorable members, we must also remember that when AG comes to do an audit, they come and do the audit to see that how things get done. Sometimes the other issues come up during that audit. How it can be addressed. Okay. According to AG, was saying to us, no, you guys estimated these figures. Exactly the same like what Treasury was saying. Estimate these figures. Immediately one sees the risk there. If you estimate and say is 250 million, I'm making an example. Then we'll say, AG will come back and say, no, okay, support this 251 million. Give us the supporting documentation. Then, the end of the day, it will be a massaging the figure. I said, no, we can't do that. It was the first time themselves they picked it up as well. Okay? Then that's how it was resolved as well. So, and the other one, the honorable member made a very, another statement to say, did we have any political interference? Chairperson, I would like to report to this committee, as I'm sitting in the chair, that I'm a professional when I'm doing my job. And also I know what I need to follow. Firstly, I need to follow each and every section of the PFMA. I need to follow each and every section of the trade regulation. I need to follow each and everything of the trade regulations. I need to follow each and every policy. Those things that I'm mentioning does not have any political connotation. It's the thing that if you're a professional person, you need to follow. Okay. So at no stage that I will able to lead every department. Unfortunately, honorable member, if I can highlight, I've worked with quite a long time with yourself, the politicians, the committees on my previous job. I never had any political, I'm doing my work freely as much as possible. I'm giving advices, correct advices, where I need to, without any interference, even to my boss, the national commissioner. I'm doing my job professionally. So there is no, you must be rest assured that there is no political connotation at all in the organization. I can't talk about the past, but I'm talking about what I say now. And the honorable member, the second honorable member talked about the internal structure, which is the internal audit. It might be, honorable member, that what the honorable member highlighted, it might be that it was a challenge. I would say why I'm saying that. Because if you look in terms of this department, it's been qualified for the past 12 years or before that. Whereas the audit committee was there. Okay? When we joined, the commissioner, we engaged with the internal audit, with the audit committee ourselves. We looked to the structure of the internal audit. Internal audit, it must be a troubleshooter. It must be a troubleshooter to make sure that it's the management tool. Internal audit is the management tool. But when we look to the ranks, of those people in the internal audit component, you find that it's very, very low rank. When a person will come, cannot even challenge even a chief director. And then we look at the entire structure. And then also on the structure, Chairperson, it was only based, it's only based in head office. But our work is down there to the center, where the real operation is happening. Now, the structure was proposed, and then it went to the commissioner, and then it went to the audit committee. Then it was approved. And then it was approved, the structure. We are busy now implementing the structure. That structure, it proposed, the person who had the internal audit, the professional person, it must be a professional person, and also, that structure, we already hired that person, as we are speaking here. A person who got a vast experience, is the president of CIA, is the deputy president of CIA internal auditors, the person that we have. We took him from Treasury with a lot of experience. So this is where we are, honorable member, at the moment. The other question that was raised by the honorable member is the comparison. To say, if we're looking to this spending pattern, how do we compare? Are we improving or are we not improving? Honorable member, if you look to the trend of DCF, looking at the trend of DCF for the past 8 years, 7 years of that 8 years was an understanding. Only 1 year that was overspending. Now, if you want to get an average, then you might able to miss out yourself. I might able to not get the full picture. But what we have done as a department to say, no, let's look now 2010-2011 financial year and 2009-2010 financial year and 2010-2011 financial year. Let's compare those two. And that's so that we can project for the future. And so that we can focus and do the cash management focus. Then when we did that, we looked to say we were sitting at 728, but right now we are sitting at 318. It means there is an improvement according to our side. Because we know the implication. If we're going back, we got two implications. One implication, that thing will be sitting in the emphasis of matter today, coming back to the Auditor General's report, emphasis of matter. And another thing, we need to make sure to say, definitely, we are make sure that we spend according to our plan. That's where we are at the moment. The other thing that the honorable member highlighted that it's also worrying us, Chairperson, is in terms of understanding of compensation of employees. I need to highlight here that as a department, what we are doing as well. Chairperson, I will highlight today only year, only the current financial year. I got my stats here. At the end of the third quarter, Chairperson, the department had the vacancies of 1290, which amounted to 3.11%. But if you look at the end of the last quarter, the department has only vacant position of 438, which amounted to 1.06%. If you look, compare the improvement from the last quarter, to the third quarter, the department has improved by 852 position that is seen within that particular time. In terms of percentage improvement, the department has improved by 2.12%. How did we improve on that? As I highlighted that we are filling most of the positions, but at the same time, look at a department like Correctional Services. Some of the work that is done there, it got an upward movement. You'll find that the most position that you advertise will be filled within the people within inside. Okay? Will be filled by the people within inside. But what the department has done now, as I indicated to my presentation to say, instead of making one intake, we're going to take two intakes. Because like this was the intake. The other future plan the department is having in order to make sure that we are dealing with the problem. HR corporate services. Now it will have a plan to see how many people will retire next year. How many people will retire the following year on a monthly basis? Break it by month, so that we can start now to say, okay, fine, if those people are retiring in 3 months' time, let's start the process of recruiting. Immediately when that person exits, we got a person that is starting. That is another strategy that we are coming up with. Okay, in order to make sure that we are filling up those positions. Because remember, honorable members, We need to implement what we promised, to say we'll create employment. The president was saying when the state of the nation, we need to abide on that. We are, as a department, it is not that we are happy when to see our people are sitting out there. This is where we are, honorable members. In terms of material losses, Shepperson, we do have a plan of increasing the material losses, of decreasing. As I indicated to honorable members, that when you look to these figures, it's the figures of that we are writing it off. It's based on old information. It's not something that it happening currently. It's not what we are dealing with currently to implement control currently, but we need to deal with something that happened, the accident that happened 10 years ago, to say, if we are writing off this one, what was the assumption? It was properly investigated so that we can do everything in our power. I think, Chairperson, I covered most of the questions, but the first part for the honorable member will be dealt by my colleagues. Thank you.
But before they deal with some of them, with the effort that you are doing, are you sure that you will be able to receive a clean audit by 2014?
Chairperson, that is a difficult question to answer. But, Chairperson, one where you sit, looking at the interim, it wasn't much that was reported, but as you might know, the audit, that it might come up with something new altogether. I did not expect that last year. I was hoping that 2010, 2011, I will get it unqualified, because even 18, Mr. Nombembe himself, because there was a confusion. Nobody was clear to say, can we give this department the qualification or not? At the end of the day, they gave us. But I don't know what it might come up. But what is the issue that has been a problem in the past? Everything it has been clear. Unless this is coming up something that I don't know. But, Chairperson, I need to highlight this. What I'm reporting on is in terms of regulatory audit, not in terms of performance audit. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and members. There were a number of questions raised. I'll try and deal with some of those, and I'll leave some to my colleagues. One is the issue of raised by the Honorable Joseph on the pattern of escapes, the escalation, whether it's a particular province or region. Escapes are non-regional in their nature. The spike that we had in 2010 was precisely because of the one escape, which was massive in Harrismith. 41 inmates. If we look at the previous year, we would have not had increased the escapes in the 2010 period. We are reporting lower levels of escapes precisely because we have raised the levels of security. We have raised the level of awareness amongst our members that one escape is too many and the impact on the reputation of the organization. So the tendency and the trend is that the escapes are going down. Now, with respect to the matter that was raised by the member with respect to overcrowding is a perennial problem. It is unfortunate to say so because we don't determine the levels at which subs will operate. We don't determine the level at which the prosecution will take from the courts. If the levels of crime increase in the country, they have an impact on us, as Colette now said, because we're in the receiving end. But we sincerely believe that the overcrowding is being attended to through various mechanisms. Suffice to indicate one of which is the remission that the President has made. But there are other measures that we're putting in place, alternative sentencing, bail protocol, and dealing with the issue of petty crimes. This is a matter that has to be dealt with at the cluster JCPS. That people who are caught, theft offenders perhaps, for milk, for food, socio-economic crimes, they may not be sent to prison, perhaps given fines, because that in itself will alleviate the massive overcrowding that is taking place in our facility. But these are not the end state in themselves. There has to be a policy and a position that we take on this matter. The Honorable Member raised the issue of DCS being the mirror of the country. Yes, indeed. But we need to be able to contextualize that. We need to boost and up the ante in terms of communication. When people go on parole, when people are released, so that communication becomes the key as to what is it that we do as correctional services. It goes without saying that our people don't know what parole is all about. If we don't communicate as to the role and the importance of parole, we'll always be lambasted for having people on parole. Because it is a society that needs to understand as to what is the importance of parole, what does it mean to be on day parole, what is full parole, and the categories of people who qualify for parole. But also important on this matter is the victim participation. We need to increase the awareness of the society that they need victims of crime, that for us to consider a parole on one particular inmate, the victims of crime also must participate in the process to say whether they feel comfortable, what their opinion is in this regard. I'll leave the issue of grievances and litigation to my colleagues, but suffice to indicate that the issue that was raised by Honorable Matila on the late recommendations that were made to us, we sincerely lament on that. We did take copiously the issues that were raised by us. And indeed, some of those recommendations were put into place. Unfortunately, in this presentation, we're talking about the annual performance, annual report, and on the issues that we are addressing in this instance. We also take cognizance of the fact that the Department of Public Works is an Achilles heel to the department and to government departments. And hence, we have decided that we need to seek an alternative approach to dealing with issues of facilities. Hence, we thought about IDT being a supplementary organization that will help us in this regard. We have raised this concern with our portfolio committee, and we sincerely believe that the select committee will also assist in this regard, because facilities in their nature, which are old, they need to be refurbished, they need to be upgraded, but if public works is not coming to the party, we'll sit with a problem. I'm not sure if colleagues might have picked up some of the issues that we have not responded to, the issue of, or there's the issue of the acting CFO. You recall, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, that we don't have at senior management level acting people. All senior positions have been filled as we speak. From 2010 to date, we have made it our duty in consonance with the call by the minister, and also in line with the call by the President that we need to fill all positions. And indeed, from where we are sitting, from the 41,500 funded posts, the level of understaffing has been reduced significantly. So it is an ideal that we need to fill all the posts, but indeed the onus now falls on corporate services, as we have indicated. We're working together to have a clear audit as to who is going to be out of the system in when, because that is an easy process that we need to deal with, so that we can have a retention strategy that already has been put in place and deal with the issues of filling all the vacant posts, which will also have an impact on the compensation of employees. Colleagues will add up on the areas that we might have missed, but sincerely we would like to give you a full response to this. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. But also to just pick on what the CFO and the National Commissioner have stated about the filling of vacancies, we are busy with the filling of vacancies, as you can see or hear from the statistics that were given by the CFO, that there's a great improvement on the filling of positions. Another member, you will recall that TCS is a labor-intensive organization, and it is regrettable that we also have very high levels of attrition due to the aging workforce, and we have already stated that we will make sure that we focus correctly, and we are losing, in terms of people retiring, dying, or exiting the system, about 100 employees a year. So as we are trying to fill the vacancies at the same time, there's people exiting the department. So we will be using our HR plan and retention strategy, and also use our integrated HR strategy in terms of making sure that we don't fall below 97% filled positions at all times. With the intakes of learnerships that the CFO was also referring to, we make sure that we absorb almost all the learners that qualify for absorption. So in terms of filling the vacancies under general, we are improving on that. But I must say, Stan, to add that as far as care skills are concerned, we are still having a lot of challenges. Much as we have implemented the occupational specific dispensations for those care skills like social workers, nurses, psychologists, and educationists, but we're still having a lot of challenges in attracting those people. But our retention strategy will assist in terms of retaining those who are already on the system, in the system. There was a question on artisans. Artisans are also, in terms of our revised scarce skill, revised retention strategy, have been classified as a scarce skill, and we have also implemented occupation-specific dispensation for artisans as well. But we're still struggling to attract artisans. But we'll go all out to make sure that we do the necessary advertisements up to the extent of licensing in terms of that. There was a question, especially about social workers and as a profession. As a department, we even went to the extent of giving bursaries to social workers, to employees who are in the department. But because these people were already in the system and are earning at a higher level, and when they graduate, they have to start at entry level as social workers, it is becoming very difficult to translate them, because they would rather remain as security officers than translated to social workers to start at entry level. But what the Department of Correctional Services is doing currently, we are in discussion with the Department of Social Development, who actually have an excess of bursary holders for social work, and we are trying to attract those bursary holders who are ready to start at entry level, because they are just competent. There was a question on grievances. The question was which types of grievances are we handling basically. The grievances vary, but in the main, the grievances are on unfair labor practice. Thank you, Chair.
Mm-hmm. Still applying your mind, yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe I can also assist you will come in. The question was whether when we talk about litigation, we talk about cases that go to the labor court. The answer is yes, because people go through an internal disciplinary process, and then they appeal internally, and then when they lose the appeal internally, they then take the case outside. So it's cases that we defend in court.
Chairperson, I should think there's two issues that we need to address. One is the consultants. Department of Correctional Services was a hive for lots of consultants in our environment. Some of them were what you call in-house consultants who have been there for past 10, 15 years. And the question is whether they added value. But the moral of the story is that we have dealt with the issue of consultants within our environment. Consultants are to be found in any sphere of the society. But it's the level at which they were pegged at our organization. In IT in particular, we had 70-80% consultants running the IT. And we have reduced that to about 30. And I would like to believe in the near future, in the next year or so, we'll reduce it to manageable levels. Because we cannot have an IT system that is run by a consultant per se. That indicates and creates a security breach. We have therefore addressed this matter. And even in other spheres where in there is a need for consultants, we sit down as a department and think very thoroughly as to whether there is a need for us to have a consultant or have an internal resource that is properly capacitated to deal with issues that we're dealing with. So we are dealing with reduction of consultants in our organization. I want to make an apology with respect to the late submission of the presentation. We were informed on Thursday that we'll be appearing to the select committee. And therefore, as a national commissioner, we agree that we'll certainly appear here and we put everything in place, given the fact that on Friday it was a holiday and on Monday there was going to be a day. We sincerely lament this approach. Certainly, we take respect for the importance of the committee, and we certainly would not repeat this if this is seen as, on our part, having not complied with the timeline. We want to assure the committee that we take high regard of the stakeholders, especially in Parliament, with respect to issues that deal with us. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honourable Chairperson, National Commissioner, I think if I can just latch on to the last aspect. The honourable member has indicated that the committee has got the disadvantage of not having sort of the flow of information during the year that we've reported on. And perhaps, National Commissioner, much as we do not, as a department, engage with the committee on a quarterly basis, we do submit quarterly reports to the portfolio committee, and perhaps if our unit in parliamentary liaison could copy such reports on a quarterly basis to the select committee, I think you will be following the progress or non-progress within the department.
The question that was raised by Honourable Manzini about suicides, the level of suicides, and how are you going to address it?
The level of suicide is very tricky and a very difficult issue. Suicides are occasioned by a number of factors in our environment. We as a department would strive to reduce the level of suicides that are taking place, both natural, in fact, suicides are natural in their nature. They are occasioned by overcrowding in the main. Two, they are also occasioned by the social instability and gang fights that are taking place. So there is a myriad of reasons why we have suicide in our facility. Some are unexplained. Somebody commits suicide for perhaps social problems that are outside. But the number of suicides that we have had thus far, the trend is that it is increasing. It's a cause for concern. So we have within corrections instituted a research to have an understanding as to the major concerns and the reasons for suicides in our facilities. So that is an issue that we're addressing. It's a concern. But it's something that we would like also to have a professional engagement on that. Because we as correctional officers cannot investigate ourselves also. It is important that we have an independent, also we have the inspectorate, which is an independent body. But they are unable to get, they do get reports, but they need to go deeper into the issues of unnatural deaths, which is suicide in the main. Thanks, Chair.
No, thanks, Chair. Maybe that, I just want to clarify the area around, thank you for that process, around us getting documentation, information earlier. But you see, I'm almost referring to your annual report. It has been submitted to Parliament. We don't have it. You see, that's one area. And that's the disadvantage of engaging with yourself around all these issues. That's the one area. The second area is around growth. I know the last time we discussed this particular matter with yourself, there were serious problems around them being in place. Are they effective? Other centers did not have them. You know, there were specific problems. And we also raised some concern where these boards, when they were dealing with some of these issues. And I will cite the Limpopo case, where the real murderer who was there, who used some people, is out on parole. But the people that used are sitting in prison as we speak now. There's some discrimination happening in them as far as that particular situation is concerned. The Pretoria case is a case that we need to look at, you know. That when it comes to other races, you know, these parole boards are fast to deal with some of the issues. When it comes to Africans, it does not happen. Black people in particular, you know, who have, in the same case, you know, and been used towards that particular process, you know, the employers will be out, quickly out, while the people that were used during that process, will rot in jail, which is a problem. And I think those are part of the issues. I'm not sure what is it that you are doing around those specific issues, because it's there, it's happening. And the Limpopo case is not the only case. There are a number of cases throughout the whole country. You see? The last area that maybe deals with parole is this ruling by the Constitutional Court around the 1992-94. Death sentences or life sentences, that way. Well, what is happening to that process? Because one actual way it is, the only time that we have fully involved with that particular is around the Free State case. We did not follow up, but you know, in terms of reporting here, in terms of what we have from your information, we are not getting a sense as to what is happening around that specific area. Because that's part of the issues that I think we should be getting information on as to what is happening, because we know that there were hundreds of inmates there that have to be dealt with. Close to 3,000, I think that was reported upon last time. We're not sure where that process is. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Can I address the first matter on parole report? Maybe also not being defensive, but just explaining that previously, parole boards were part of the department. You would get people employed by DCS and being given the responsibility of dealing with parole. There were challenges with that system. It came with challenges of its own. And then there was the new dispensation of parole boards, which were then now appointed as independent boards that would not necessarily be uniformed members of the Department of Correctional Services, but they would be given a 5-year contract to deal with matters of parole. That group was the first group of its kind. It's now that we are appointing the second group. The first group had its challenges as well, and yes, when somebody appears before the parole board, it's only that person's file that is being looked into. They don't look at your co-accused, because in many instances, or in some instances, your co-accused might also not necessarily be in the same center as you. You might be in the other center and your co-accused are in another center. Now, the loophole, one of the loopholes that we have picked up is that when they looked at the case, they would not look at the co-accused and what happens to the co-accused. So as we were evaluating, if I may use that word, the functioning of the parole boards, there were many loopholes that we
also as a department picked up, but also through the complaints of inmates, their families, and so on. Now, in appointing the new parole boards, which are still fresh by now, there was a training that was arranged for parole boards by our social reintegration component, trying to cover some of these loopholes and say, if we know that Jolingana, when she was committing a crime, she was not alone. When you look at her case, you have to look at the case in its totality in terms of what happens to the other people that were involved in the case. So there is that training that is happening with parole boards. There is that. But again, one needs to caution that it does not necessarily mean because we were involved in the same crime, we will all be granted parole at the same time, because it also depends if I was arrested with her committing the same crime. When we get into the correctional center, do we respond to programs, both of us? Does she respond to programs the same way that I would respond to programs? Because it also depends on the programs that you have attended. Are you rehabilitated? Can we say that if we release you to society, the chances of you reoffending are low, or you are still angry? Because particularly people that were in because of other people, they get into a correctional center and they are still angry with the Jolingana that made them to come to the correctional center. And because of their anger, they are reluctant to participate in programs. They refuse to participate in programs. Now, when you look at their file, it does not show anything that they've done. It's the anger. You still have to take them through the anger management and so on. So there are many factors that influence that. But what we always say is that we appreciate that when there was a core accused, that information must be brought to us so that we look at the reasons, so that we don't give assumptions. We look at the reasons to say, if these people were in the same case, why is this one released and why is the other one not released? So as I'm trying to explain, it's not a pure system, it's not a perfect system. It has got its flaws, but having learned from the first 5 years, we are trying to improve the functioning of the parole board. The other issue is that within the National Council of Correctional Services, you have what you call a parole review board, so that when there's a case where somebody is not satisfied by the manner in which the parole board has handled a specific case, that case can be referred to the parole review board of the NCCS, and then the parole review board can relook at the case and see the merits and probably assist. So if a case is not reported, it becomes difficult to even look at issues of review and so on. But what I want to affirm is that, yes, Honorable Member, it's not a perfect system, and we are looking at those loopholes and how we can overcome them through constant training of parole boards.
Just the last follow-up, Chair. You see, Chair, our experience with the last case that we dealt with is that these people were sitting in two different prisons. You know, and I'm saying this precisely because of the way they responded, they behaved. And then for 19 years, let's say for 16 years, sitting in two different prisons, separate from each other. And I'm just saying, you know, sometimes some of these particular cases are brought forward to these parole boards by heads of these particular centers. You see? Because sometimes when these people apply, these things won't go through. It depends on this, the heads of the centers. You see? And that's where the snake is. You see? A particular center, I mean, you take Sonar Vatal. In terms of this particular case, they preferred to look at specific people rather than other people. Yes, because of the attitude of that particular head of center. And I'm saying, are you looking at this, all these issues? How do you deal with those things? Because you see, you might be blaming image, you might be blaming other people there. What's the problem is sitting with officials there? You see? And those are the, because this is the experience we got, we looked at, you know, and it is because of officials that this matter was not dealt with as urgent as possible. Because they will mislead the minister, they will mislead the commissioner in terms of that's what we got out of this particular case. From officials within correctional services, with outside correctional services, the legal teams, you know, and all that, and that's why you lost the case in court, precisely because of this particular official. Yes. And that's just the follow-up I wanted to make, Chair, because these are the issues, and that's how I wanted to find out is how do you deal with it? Because, you know, that board can be an independent board. It is advised by people within correctional services to deal with issues. You see? Because things come before them, brought to them by them, and who are they going to question? Who are they going to interview? It's not the parochial alone. Head of the center and all those people influence that process. And that is the situation that we're talking about. Depending on who says what at that particular point, they will take that. And that's the point we're trying to bring forward to yourselves.
Thank you, Chairperson. We appreciate that and we fully agree. There's a CMC, Case Management Committee, which is made of our members. There, even there, there may be flaws. There's head of centers, people who refer people to this case management committee, and then the case management committee refers to the parole board. In that chain, we agree that things may happen. In a case where we are aware that there's a discrepancy that is caused by our members, it is our responsibility as a department to take disciplinary action in those cases. The CFO was raising a concern, if I can make an example, where Jolingana S, she makes a wrong decision, and then an inmate takes us to court. And that inmate wins the case, and the department pays. What happens to Jolingana? Because the department is paying because of this person's action. So in that case, there must be an investigation, and if this person is found to be negligent, that person should be held responsible and accountable. So that's why I'm saying, in cases where it's reported and we are aware, we are obliged to take disciplinary action. We've been trying to train CMCs, we've been trying to train parole boards, but one can never say it's a perfect system. There are human elements that affect the system, and we are trying to purify it. So that is why we are saying, in cases where we are aware, we will take disciplinary action, and we also plead that, because we know that as members of parliament, you are public representatives, and some of the things come to you even without coming to us. That is why we plead for the relationship that says, if we are aware, then we need to take action. If we are not aware, things get out of hand. So, yes, it's not a matter where one will say in 100% of the cases, it's because of programs. It's because of various factors. In other cases, it is programs. In other cases, yes, it's our members. In other cases, it's inconsistencies of the parole board. A parole board in Leeuwkop does not necessarily look at the same issues that a parole board in Middle Drift looks at. And therefore, all offenders want to be transferred to that particular center because it's easy to get parole in that center. And therefore, we are trying to address those issues and saying parole boards need to be consistent, they need to look at the same issues, but yes, there's a level where our staff is involved, and that level has to be purified as well.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The next presentation deals with the strategic plan 2012-13 to 2016-17, as well as the annual performance plan of the department for 2012-13, and then the CFO will again take us through the estimates of national expenditure for 2012. Chairperson, if you will allow me, the presentation on the strategic plan, slide 3, just gives you the overview of what is in the plan. And perhaps before I start with that, just to indicate that there are three very important factors that one needs to take into consideration when looking at the strategic plan of the department. One, in 2010, National Treasury published the document called Guidelines for Strategic Plans and Annual Performance Plans. And those guidelines, or the framework rather, was meant to get uniformity put in government departments when we deal with the strategic plans and annual performance plans. So you would find that this is complying, the format here is complying with the framework that has been presented by or developed by National Treasury. Secondly, in line with the, or as part of addressing the findings that we've mentioned in the annual report of 2010-11, the department then developed a logic model to align the department in terms of its outcomes at strategic level as well as outputs at operational level that needs to feed into achieving these outcomes. And then thirdly, very important, we have as a department tabled a strategic plan in the previous financial year. And normally the strategic plan covers a period of 5 years. We then had to table in the 2012-13 financial year a new strategic plan because of the fact that our department's budget program structure has changed. So this strategic plan that was tabled in the previous financial year, we had to take that information and cascade it into the budget programs that is effective as from the 1st of April 2012 in the Department of Correctional Services. Well, just that background, and then with your permission, if I can go straight into the strategic outcome-oriented goals of the department, and then go to the annual performance plan to indicate how the department in 2012-13 will strive towards achieving those strategic outcome-oriented goals. And give you the detail of the annual performance plan instead of the strategic plan that was just the background. So thank you, Chair. So Chair, then important in terms of the next slide, that is slide number 3, the explanation for that I've given now, but most important, the change of budget programs. In the previous presentation, we have mentioned that the department has got 7 budget programs. You will see here that those budget programs have changed from 7 to 5, and that the department has got reason for that. The strategic plan and annual performance plan of the department was tabled in the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces on the 7th of March 2012. It should be 2012. The next slide just gives you it's not necessarily a mapping of the budget programs from the old to the new, but just to juxtapose them. This is how it looks now on the left-hand side, 2012-13. This is how it was in the previous financial year, 2011-12. So I'm not going to go through that, but it's just the main thing is reduced from 7 to 5. And then these strategic drivers based on our annual report and the performance in the previous financial year, these are the strategic drivers that the department identified that will take the department further into the new financial year and the five-year cycle of the strategy. Chairperson, now, this is what I said. I will just concentrate on these three. There are three strategic outcomes-oriented goals that underpin the following core functions of the department. The core functions then enhance public safety, reduce reoffending, and the social integration of offenders. That is what we said as core to this department. And our outcome, our strategic outcome that we want to achieve is illustrated there. One, and this is coming from our logic model, so that there's a logic flow in what we do. One, there is effective criminal justice through the effective management of remand processes. So that's one strategic focus of the department, remand processes. Secondly, society is protected through incarcerated offenders being secure and rehabilitated. So the rehabilitation agenda of the department is the second strategic outcome-oriented goal. And the third one, society is protected by offenders being reintegrated into the community as law-abiding citizens. So those three strategic outcomes one needs to see. Oh, the question could be, how will you materialize those three strategic outcomes? And that is manifested in our annual performance plan starting 2012-13, this financial year. But perhaps just to close the presentation on the strategic plan itself, in terms of the format, Honorable Chairperson, that is part A that I've attended to now. Part B provides the detail of the strategic plan in the sense of taking those five budget programs and just highlighting some aspects of it. But it will be, I think it will be making more sense for us to go into the detail of the annual performance plan that gives you an indication of how we will achieve that. And then part C of the strategic plan is just to say that these are strategies. We have these three strategic outcomes. It links to other plans in the department, and then there's just a list of those plans. That's part C. The one would be the annual performance plan that we're going to go to now, but there are also the master's information systems plan, our spending plan, our HR plan. All those plans should contribute to the achievement of these strategic outcomes that has been illustrated in the strategic plan of the department. If we then can go to the second part of the presentation, and that is the annual performance plan. So the strategic plan over a period of 5 years, in this financial year we start addressing the achievement of those strategic goals. And linked to that, an overview of the budget for the 2012-13 financial year. I'm not going to talk to the slide, that is slide 12, on the budget overview. The CFO will explain that, Chair, but this is just as part of the annual performance plan to say we have an overview of the budget in terms of how we are going to deal with the strategies that we've identified in the strategic plan and now the outputs that we want from our annual performance plan. Going then to the programs, and you will find that if we haven't distributed that, Honorable Chairperson, the National Commissioner, then I will follow that up, that the annual performance plan should have been distributed to this House also. But this you will find on page 10 of the annual performance plan. First program, administration. And here, again, Honorable Chairperson, you will see on the left-hand side, we will have an output and then a performance indicator of how we are going. Yes. Okay. On slide number 13, we are now with the first budget program, and sub-programs are part B of the presentation, slide 13. So the first program, program administration. Our output there is to establish a planning, monitoring, evaluation, and reporting system to manage performance information on predetermined objectives. That is the output that we want to achieve, and here already, both the CFO and myself, we have alluded to how we're going to deal with the audit qualifications and audit findings from the previous financial year and going back 2 years. So the monitoring, evaluation, and reporting system will utilize to deal with the audit findings and deficiencies that have been identified in our operations. Secondly, second performance indicator would be the functional system for monitoring of repeat offending in South Africa. And again, in the current financial year, 2012-13, we want to monitor the monitoring of repeat offending in relation to trio crimes that will be piloted. So it's not a full scale, but we will concentrate on the trio crimes. Perceptions of crime among the population managed, that's another output. And we want to improve, the target for this year is to improve 5% of positive performance rating of the public in South Africa, of us as a department. Percentage of stories that can convey favorable GCS image, we're going to determine the baseline by subscribing to GCIS Media Monitoring Service so that a scientific analysis of all media reports is available. So all of this focus on the image of the department and how South Africans receive correctional services. The same with the third output there on slide number 14, the increased number of stakeholder interactions. And the target there is one stakeholder roundtable event per region and two events at national level and two media consultative sessions. In other words, 10 events for the year. To increase our stakeholder interactions that we have. Then on slide 15, so with a budget program administration, the implementation of an anti-corruption strategy. We have reported on that in the previous presentation also, Honorable Chairperson. You'll see that our target for the 2012-13 financial year is to have an 86% conviction rate. So that's an improvement of the previous 2010-11 84% conviction rate. Improved management of litigation cases to take that up to 74% in favor of the department. And then move over to the IT systems. Our target for year one is to have an endpoint established and functional. And this in particular also deals with the integration of the IT systems within the JCPS cluster. That is slide 15. Slide 16 continues with the ICT or IT outputs and targets that we have set for ourselves. I think very, very important for the committee to note is the performance indicator on the top of that page, the basic ICT infrastructure renew. That is a major project that the department is involved now to improve our information communication technology systems that we have. I'll go over then to the last item there on that slide, and that is enhanced African agenda and sustainable development on security and stability. In our annual report presentation, we have mentioned the establishment of a new branch within the department, and that is ACFA and SADC. And here you see that our target that we have for this financial year is the mainstreaming of corrections and the criminal justice system in relation not only to regional SADC and African Union, but also United Nations processes. So that is what that branch that has been established in the previous financial year is engaging in. Then, Honorable Chairperson, following on the next slide, so concentrating on the AFSA and SADC component, slide 17, the performance indicators strengthen contribution to peace missions and post-conflict reconstruction and development. Our target for this year for that particular branch is to establish mechanisms to capacitate DCS involvement in peace missions and post-conflict reconstruction and development. To deepen technical and development cooperation, a developed five-year plan in relation to technical and development cooperation in the field of agriculture, production workshops, social integration and human resource development within the African continent. So that is the role of DCS within the African continent, establishing partnerships and contributing to development within Africa. Slide number 18 deals with finance as a sub-program in program administration, and I think the CFO has already explained that in the presentation of the annual report. But if you look at the percentage, or rather the target for this year, the CFO has given the Honourable Chair and Honourable Members the norm, but the target that has been set for this financial year, under expenditure limited to a quarter of a percent of the voted funds. That is, I think there was a question in that regard, what is it that we are going to measure ourselves against, and that is the target that the department has put up for itself. The number of audit qualifications that we've already mentioned, and the actions in relating to that. The CDC corporate services on page 19, that's the next slide, in terms of the filling of vacant posts, she's already indicated that our target for the current financial year would be to have 97% of funded vacant posts filled against a total of 41,911. The structure that the National Commissioner has referred to that will assist the department in improving services, that is also being put up as a target for the implementation of the approved structure and post establishment in the 2012-13 financial year. Then, colleague, Honourable Chair and Members, going to corporate services, the output that we want here is to implement an integrated employee health and wellness program. You'll see the target there. Part of it is to get to the root causes of sick leave and temporary incapacity leave, to have that research and to find a way of dealing with it in the department. The effective implementation of the seven-day establishment. So for this year, 2012-13, our target is to roll out an appropriate shift model, and then the management of disciplinary cases, again, that has been dealt with in the annual report, but look at the target that we've set for ourselves is the 2011-12 baseline, to reduce that by 10%. So we will in the annual report that's going to be tabled during the course of this year that deals with the performance of 2011-12, what we say for 2012-13, a reduction of 10% in terms of disciplinary cases. The management of grievances, our target for this year is to all grievances finalized within 30 days. That is the norm within the Department of Correctional Services. Honourable Chair, the next one deals with the establishment of a Corrections Academy, and I think the committee has also discussed that in terms of, it was mentioned, the morale and the professionalism within the department. So the development of a Corrections Academy structure is put as target for the 2012-13 financial year in an effort to professionalize also corrections in South Africa. The next slide, slide 21, deals with staff development. So our target deals there with to have 14,100 officials trained in line with the workplace skills plan priorities. the two groups of learners recruited and trained in correctional services learnership, and then 1,200 interns recruited in line with the workplace skills plan priorities. Again, the professionalizing of DCS, I've mentioned that in the previous slide, in terms of establishing of an academy, and here's now a professional body that will also then regulate corrections in South Africa. So our target for 2012-13 is to have a business case finalized and the drafting of legislative framework for the professional body that deals with corrections in South Africa. And then finally, Chair, in terms of program administration, one of the outputs there, to establish organizational culture based on appropriate diversity management. So the focus here on diversity management, and our target for 2012-13 financial year is to monitor and evaluate the implementation of the diversity management framework. So the framework has been developed in the previous financial year. Now it's implementation and monitoring of that diversity management framework. When we go to the second program, and here you will see already, you will see the change in budget program structure. So budget program number two is now called incarceration. So we have program incarceration, and under incarceration, we have one sub-program, security operations. Here we deal with the output to improve secure or to improve secure and safe custody of all inmates, and of course inmates and the general public and officials. We have there, if we look at the performance indicators that we have under that output, we're looking at the SALT. Our target there is a 2.2% of assaults, that's to down manage assaults. We have also percentage of gang-related violent incidents. We want to reduce that by 10%. DCS has a gang management unit established and implemented. The percentage of unnatural death in correctional facilities and remand detention facilities, to reduce that, and as well as to reduce escapes. So, Honorable Chairperson, all those indicators and the targets should contribute towards improved, secure, and safe custody of all inmates. On slide 23, we continue with the security measures that we put in place to ensure security and safety of inmates. And that is the percentage of centers with fully functional access control security turnstiles. We say 100% of those centers where those equipment have been installed. We talk about the integrated security technology strategy for the department that should be approved in the current financial year. And then very important, a functional electronic inmate tracking system to monitor the movement of offenders within correctional centers. All of those to improve safety and security within our correctional centers. We continue on slide 24 with security operations sub-program by having performance indicators for body scanning machines that will be utilized. Partnership with the Department of Home Affairs, we have access to the automated fingerprint identification system, and revised security policy procedures within the sub-program security operations. And it is our firm belief that all these targets and performance measurements will allow us and assist us, Honorable Chair and members, to improve the security within our correctional centers. The second sub-program under program incarceration is facilities. And here in the main, it's about the creation of new bed spaces. Chairperson, there I should just mention that 1,045 target for the year 2012-13 if you should just take into consideration what was mentioned in the annual report for 11-12, that those three centers, Brandplay, Van Rijnstok, Sierras, have not been completed. And what we say here is they will be completed in the 2012-13 financial year, and this will be the additional bed spaces created by the completion of those centers. There's also the upgrading of facilities, and here the department has really focused on vulnerable groups in the person of a female, facilities for female offenders, facilities for mothers who are incarcerated with their babies, so special focus is placed on that aspect. And what we want to achieve in the 2012-13 financial year is to have business cases for three female facilities in Gauteng region, that's including the mother and baby unit, to have that finalized. The number of kitchens provided with meal equipment or repair, 61 kitchens to be upgraded or to be put into a situation where, and I think one of the honorable members mentioned it earlier on, where we can provide meals according to legislation to our offenders, but then that the kitchens are in such a state that you can do that. Emergency generators and supporting infrastructure completed. So there we refer to 49 emergency generators and supporting infrastructure for the year 2012-13. Slide 26, stalwart facilities. Chairperson, perhaps just to summarize that slide, it's just in terms of schools for youth. So I was mentioning that in terms of facilities, we are concentrating on vulnerable groups, mothers, female offenders, youth that need to attend school, and then also office space for officials and the regional offices in LMN, that is Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and Northwest region, as well as the KZN region that we have targeted for 2012-13. And finally, also to audit our facilities to see whether they comply with the necessary regulations. Subprogram 3 under program incarceration is remand detention. We have mentioned the development in terms of remand detention in the annual report presentation. What's important here, Chair, if we look at the performance indicators, one, reduce the average length of time in remand detention. We have put as a target for 2012-13 that offenders on remand will not exceed 177 days in incarceration. So that is the target that we've given ourselves. The Commissioner has already mentioned alternative methods for sentencing, the bail protocol, etc. So all of that deal with the system of remand detention that we are establishing in South African corrections. Then we have sub-program offender management. Here we deal with overcrowding and really conditions of incarceration that will acknowledge the human rights approach or framework that the department operates in. Again, I think one of the honorable members mentioned that the current intervention will influence the percentage of overcrowding. We have had a downward spiral. In the previous financial year, we stopped at, that is 11-12. You'll see that in the annual report that's coming out. We reduced it from 34 to 32. So, no, from 36 to 34, and the target then for 2012-13 is put at 32%. But the honourable member has mentioned that with the current intervention of special remission, that 34% of last year should even drop to 27. So, yes, it will have an influence on our target that we've set here. This target was based on the downward spiral of overcrowding from way in the 40% up to 32% in the 2012-13 financial year as a target that we've put. and that's based on previous performance. Honorable Chairperson, the last row on that slide refers to the work opportunities for offenders, and you'll see that our target that we put for ourselves there is 43% work opportunities for offenders. So, under offender management, in the next slide, perhaps again, just in summary, the performance indicators, we are going to measure ourselves as department against this. The protocol in interstate transfer, we need to engage in that. The number of dedicated short-term facilities for offenders with sentences less than 24 months. There's a great majority of offenders leaving our system that has got a sentence less than 2 years. So special or dedicated centers for offenders in that category. The rationalization of smaller centers, and also to maximize the utilization of land allocated to DCS in terms of facilities. The next slide, slide 30, deals with correctional programs. That is also a sub-program now under program. Sorry. Honorable Chair, the previous slide, slide 29, with a maximized utilization of land allocated to DCS, that is where program incarceration ends. Then we go to program rehabilitation. That is the third program. And here it's the first sub-program, correctional programs. The number of offenders who participate in programs that relate directly to the offense committed. So we say 100% of offenders with approved parole dates in the current financial year, that is in the 2012-13 financial year, must complete pre-release programs. There are challenges to that, but that is the target that we have put ourselves as a department. You will not be released if you have not participated in a pre-release program. Okay. Again, the next row, percentage of offenders with correctional sentence plans who completed correctional programs. Honorable Chairperson, in the previous cycle, we have concentrated on participation in correctional programs. You will see that the department has shifted its focus to concentrate on completion of correctional programs, and hence the target that we've set for ourselves in 2012-13 is 30%. And moving from there, we will move to the 100% that we want to have. But it just here, it is to emphasize the fact that the focus now is on completion of programs and not necessarily to participate. You can participate for a number of years and not completing. Then offender development, there we have our targets and our performance measures in terms of participation in education. So under sub-program offender development, it deals with education, it deals with skills development, and it deals with production workshops and agriculture. If you just take slide number 31, it deals with literacy, with ABET, or adult education and training, and with your further education and training mainstream, as well as college programs. That is your theoretical part in the skills development, and the targets reflected on those slides. Slide 32, again, just to emphasize, and that is why we put it as an indicator for us to measure the percentage of youth involved in formal schooling. So I've mentioned that, Chair, but just look at our targets there. We want to increase the percentage of youth involved in schooling in our facilities, and hence we want to increase the facilities that are registered as full-time schools. With all the challenges that there are to those registration processes, the target that we set then is 11 centers registered as full-time schools by the Department of Basic Education in 2012-13. That is not a zero-based target. We have already a number of schools registered as full-time schools in our system, so we're going to expand so that by the end of 2012-13 we want to have 11 schools as full-time schools registered. Slide 33, production workshops. I have mentioned that the participation of offenders in our production workshops as well as on the agricultural land. We want to improve the participation there by 3% production workshop, 3% in agriculture, 10% in production workshop. And the last part, slide 34 there under offender development, is just to maintain the agricultural targets that we set. And on the right-hand side, you will see the targets there for the various categories, vegetables, fruit, milk, red meat, pork, chicken, egg production. Those are the targets that we want to maintain or achieve in 2012-13. Pardon, Honourable Chair, that was not the last. The last category under offender development is the participation in sport, recreation and arts and culture. And you will see that we want to increase that participation by 2% in this current financial year. The next sub-program under program rehabilitation is psychological, social and spiritual services. And Chair, the summary of that slide is to increase the participation of offenders in social work as well as spiritual care. But you will note that the target for this current financial year in terms of psychological services is to establish a baseline against which to measure psychological services. So we want to have knowledge of the extent of the need for psychological services in the department. Hence, the baseline needs to be determined. Slide 37, here we have program care and sub-program nutritional services. Our performance indicator here is the number of food service units with the required resources for the provision of food services. In short, what the department is saying here, we want to provide nutritional services. We want to provide food services to our inmates by ourselves. And that is why the target for year one, that is the current financial year, 80 food service units provided with the required resources. And this is, honorable members, Chairperson, one of the honourable members mentioned the outsourcing issue, and this is to say Department of Correctional Services will be in charge of its own kitchens. Health services as the next sub-program, dealing with HIV and AIDS, inmates tested, 45%, placed on antiretrovirals, 51%, and percentage of inmates with a CD4 count below 350 who are on ARV treatment. Our target there for the 2012-13 financial year is 93%. Continue with health services, mental illness. We have a focused attention on treatment of offenders that are mentally ill, 75% our target. It's an increase of the previous year. Target and performance, and then percentage of inmates on medical treatment for communicable diseases, hypertension and diabetes, we have 9% as a target there. The hygienic services as another sub-program under program care, the number of management areas with effective management of healthcare waste services. That is a challenge in the department, so we are for 2012-13, we are saying we want 12 management areas with contracted healthcare waste services to deal with this matter also effectively. And that will spread over a three-year period where we will cover all 48 management areas in the department to have that. The next program, Honourable Chair and members, program social integration, that is page 40 in our annual performance plan. And again, it's the same measures that we had in the past, victims to participate in parole hearings, offenders that need to see the parole board need to see them, consideration by the parole review board and percentage of medical parole releases. Those are the performance indicators and the targets you will find next to that. We want to increase the victims who make presentations in parole settings. In the previous 10-11, we have given you a total that it has moved from 9-10, it has moved from 83 to 253 in 10-11. And you see our target here for 2012-13 is 795 victims we want to have involved in parole settings. And that is based on the performance of the previous financial year, 2011-12, of which the report will come out soon. If we can move to the slide 40, perhaps if we can just move back to slide 39, you'll see the last one, percentage of medical parole releases. We have finalized the legislative framework we need to implement, and hence our target for 2012-13 in terms of medical parole releases is to measure the number of releases on medical parole against the number of applications. That is how we're going to start, because we have just implemented that legislation. Slide 40 then deals with the next sub-program or two sub-programs under social integration. Restorative justice, we want to increase, and again, it relates to victim involvement and victim mediation. So we want to involve the participation of offenders and victims in mediation programs. We're going to use the 2011-12 performance information as baseline. Sub-program supervision, here we deal with the parolees without violations, parole violations. Again, our target at 78.5 is an improvement of the previous performance. And then that last row under supervision, Honourable Chair, I think is something that the committee needs to take note of. That is the implementation of an electronic monitoring pilot project where we monitor electronically probationers and parolees. And that project, we say here a pilot project, but in the previous financial year, in the 11-12 financial year, we've already started with that, so we'll see the fruit of that in the current 2012-13 financial year. Another development that has taken place in the department is under sub-program community reintegration as part of social integration, and that is the halfway house concept within corrections. So that introduced a new era in the social integration of offenders in the South African context. And the final sub-program under social integration is office accommodation community corrections. And this is about the establishment of community corrections offices so that we also deal with people within the community correction system effectively. Honourable Chair, that was the last of the five budget programs within the new budget structure. And then that is part B of our annual performance plan. Part C, again, is just how other plans in the department link to this, because we need to have the necessary resources to achieve what we have indicated in our annual performance plan. And then as part of part C, Honourable Chairperson, it's a requirement by National Treasury Framework to provide information on any public-private partnerships that we have or that we are going to engage in. What we have decided as a department, much as we have not any new public-private partnerships, we do have two existing ones, and we provided the information relating to those two public-private partnerships. Partnership projects in the department. That information is also provided in our annual performance plan. And that deals with the content of the annual performance plan, Honourable Chairperson and members. The last slide on performance, or on the annual performance plan and the strategic plan, slide 43, just give an indication of how we are going to manage as a department this plan, and that's in terms of reporting. So yes, after that annual performance plan has been developed, different units within the department develop their operational plans. So this is how they're going to contribute to the fulfillment of this annual performance plan, and we will submit quarterly reports to the Executive Authority, the Presidency, National Treasury, Portfolio Committee, the Auditor General, and we'll use the same format for all those bodies, so that we don't have different reports to different bodies. So we'll use an Excel document that will give that. I think it was mentioned earlier on that perhaps to the select committee should also be included in that second bullet, that quarterly report be submitted to the select committee also. So in summary, that is then the annual performance plan of the department for 2012-13 financial year. And with your permission, I will hand over then to the CFO that will tell us how the budget will talk to these plans that we have for 2012-13.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members. This presentation of E&E will cover six things, which is the summary of the overall budget, where the budget was cut, where the additions, comments on the E&E per program, also allocation per program, comments on E&E per economic classification, allocation per economic classification, and then allocation per region, per program and classification. Chairperson, I will try to go faster, but if the members they have a question, they can stop me. Chairperson, based on the summary, our new baseline as we are speaking now will be 17 billion, which is increased for 7% in 2012-2018, goes up to 19 billion, which is attributed by the increase of 6% in 2014-2015. But the Chairperson, there was a budget cut that was attributed to this budget, of which the main reason for that budget cut, Chairperson, as I indicated on the when I was presenting the annual report that year, there is a low spending in the capital works projects, of which it attributed to this cut. These cuts were over MTF. It goes up to 285 million on the 2014-2015. But the Chairperson, it was the new additional allocation based for improvement conditions of service, amounting for the entire MTF up to 228 million for up to 2014-2015. The table here, Chairperson, is just show how the allocation it has been done, of which I already explained on that one, what is our budget, and over MTF. If I can go, Chairperson, straight to page 48, per program. Program administration, the major thing the budget in terms of the budget now, it starts from 4.9 billion up to 5.6 billion in 2014-2015 over the entire MTF.
expenditure is expected to grow to 5.6 billion, Chairperson, as I indicated, at a rate of 7.1%. And also, the increase in the expenditure over the medium term is as a result of an additional funding, as I already indicated on that, Chairperson. Expenditure on goods and services is expected to increase to 2.9 billion over the MTS as well, at an average of 8.4%. The major attributed to that is the increase in municipality services, municipality charges as well. If I move to incarceration, cost of the incarceration, the bulk of the amount, it will be increased for 9.4 million, which is rounded off to 9.5 million from 2012-2013 to 10 billion, 10.6 billion in 2014-2015. And expenditure is expected to increase to 10.6 over the MTF charges. The growth in the expenditure provided the improved security in correctional centers and operational costs for Brantley and fund rate and also the upgrade on our facilities, Chairperson. If I can go straight to the rehabilitation on page 51, it's also on the 20, Chairperson, over the MTF, it will increase to 1.1 billion, which is 1.079 billion, to 2014 to 2015. Also on that one, this increase is due to the implementation of a new correctional center plan and increase in meat participation in agriculture based on the program, production and workshop. If I can go to the program care, the budget will start from 1.6 billion 2012-2013 to 1.751 billion to 2014-2015. The average increase there, the rate increase, is we are expecting to be 4.7%. If I can go to the program social integration, it will increase over the MTF from 748 to 8.3 million in 2014-2015, Chairperson. But Chairperson, I will need to highlight all these shifts over the MTF. That it might be seeing a drop if we don't put all the efforts to say, let's put our planning in order to spend according to our plan, to be in line with the strategic planning that is just presented and also the APP that is just presented. As a department, what effort that we want to do, on a monthly basis, we will have with all these program managers and their responsibility program managers to make sure that they spend according to the plan, according to the projection, so that at the end of the year, we are not caught off guard, or at the end of the quarter, we monitor the spending pattern each and every year, so that if those people those programs that are not being spent accordingly, then we will be able to sit down and say, if you don't spend as planned, let's make sure that we move money to where it will be spent, so that we encourage people. We are no longer going to sit and waiting for the end of three quarters in order for program managers to spend. And also other interventions, Chairperson, that we planning to do. We are no longer going to engage at a lower level or director level in terms of the expenditure. We're going to engage with the CDC themselves, Chief Deputy Commissioner, because they are the head of each branch. So we're going to escalate and engage at that level. So that at the end of the day, the reason for that, because they are fully accountable for their budget. They must fully accountable for their spending as well as the budget that is allocated here. Because as finance, we did not come up with this figure just today. We are getting from each and every branch to say, this is what I will do. This is so much that I will need from the limited resources. That is where we are, Chairperson. In terms of what I've been explaining prior, now, here you'll see, Chairperson, exactly the same what I've been talking about, but it's in terms now, in terms of the figure, that in terms of the table of format. And in terms of classification, we were indicating there how much it went to the compensation of employees, as the compensation of employees for 2012-2018 will be 7,551,000,000, moved to 18,056,000,000. On this one, Chairperson, we'll monitor very, very closely and we gave what is our intention to make sure that the positions are kept filled. We'll monitor very, very closely to make sure that each and everything that is promised on the strategic planning, it gets implemented as well. Under goods and services, the Chairperson will monitor that one. But the one that will focus mostly, as you, Chairperson, might see, and the Honorable Member, that the bigger understanding is between compensation and the infrastructure improvement. Those ones will monitor at a very, very high level. And that is what we'll do, Chairperson. And if you go to slide 56, it shows the figures in the table of format, PEG, economic classification. And if we move straight to 58, it shows the budget allocation per region as well, to say how much is per region, per program. And also on page 59, it shows per region, but in terms of economic classification. And also, Chairperson, on the page 60, it shows per sub-program. Okay. Chairperson, I'm very, very sorry for that. I'm really, really sorry for that, Chairperson. Page 57 is indicating the budget per sub-program, as all program that is falling under the program administration. It's all these programs. So that, because if we look on program administration, we know how much has been allocated per sub-program. That is the end of this presentation, Chairperson. Unless if the members would like me to explain a certain page around the presentation. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm very, very sorry for it. I thought that my presentation was working as
well. Honorable Member, do you want to engage with the presentation? Honorable Member Mande.
Thank you. Chairperson, I think they talk of, I think it's like around slide 13, 14, they talk of the establishment of the performance and monitoring system. I'm trying to understand, Chair, does that involve the what instruments, right? Establishing a system, does it mean, you know, tabling regulations, developing regulations, or that system that they talk of
establishing in a change in more sort of concrete terms, what is it? Then, secondly, Chair, in that program administration, I think they talk of diversity management as well. And I guess, Chair, that also, and I hope it's there in this plan, the equity plan and their targets on the equity plan, Chair. And if it's not there, that it should be there, I guess. And then, Chair, there is also an issue that is a clarity issue. I think they talk of IT, ICT, I think on slides 15, 16, thereabouts. And there they talk, you know, what they would need to do and all this, Chair. Now, earlier on, it's just a clarity question. Earlier on, are they going to do this on their own, but also, because earlier on they raised problems with CETA. To say what then would be the role of CETA, because we don't want them to come back again and say, look, we were doing this in partnership with CETA and it didn't happen because we informed you of what happened in the previous times with our work with CETA. I think also, Chair, they talk of using the land, and smaller facilities to for that purpose that they've stated, Chair. And now the question there, Chair, and I see also the CFO mentioned the municipalities, and Chair, you know, we've just came back from the provincial week, where and I must note that in our engagements, in my in particular, the correctional services was not pointed in specifically for not paying rates and things to municipalities, but it's just a clarity question there for really certainty that this plan, this financial plan that talks to allocation to take care of the municipal debt and all that, it's not that they haven't been paid in the past. It's just that they're going to make sure that they pay in time municipalities. As the matter is very serious. Then the other area, Chair, that is a matter of concern to me, and I know inmates have raised this with some members, the issue of the accessibility of some of the older facilities, and I know they talk of upgrading the facilities, and I hope it's part of this plan and part of the obligation for this plan 2012-13 includes really work on accessibility of the facility, Chair. Now, Chair, I heard also them raising an issue for in the Africa component part, SADC and all that. And part of it, they talk peace development and all that, Chair. I might have not have the privilege of seeing the detail of what they are saying, but it also sounded like not so close to the mandate. Perhaps they could explain, maybe just highlight one or two things that would satisfy me, Chair, that it's not really exceeding the mandate. You know, when they start talking about agriculture, I don't know whether they're going to assist Zimbabwe to prisoners to plow, or they would take people that are incarcerated in South Africa to go do projects in their own countries. I'm trying to understand, because I know they're opening a branch. So what does this mean, Chair? So that we don't fit the mandate of the department per se. So if they could allay my fears there or concerns there. And then chair the community, community officers. Is this now part of the funded 41,500? So funded things. It's I mean, how are the indications? Are these full? Are these stipend based, or what kind of officers and are they going to be part of the department with everything? The last one, chair, is relating to the work, the Justice Department, their colleague in the JSCPS cluster presented the issue of them investigating, remember, chair, with the, being a social, being a security committee, select committee, we're dealing with the cluster, and one of the issues that were raised was the issue of some requests made to South Africa in terms of the, say, for instance, people arrested at sea, piracy, which is a reality in essence, if you look at how the other departments, their colleagues, are preparing and dealing with that. To say, are they now finding them, each other in terms of the role that this department would play? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I would like to thank the presenters. I think their presentation is clear and straightforward. I want to check on page 34, where the sub-program of Ender Development, where we are, you'll be dealing with literacy, education, and skills competence. I want to check when coming to those productions, the vegetable, food, milk, meat, and the chicken and egg production there. After maybe these people will be released, is the department going to, of which I think maybe they will be able to deal with all these things, they will be experts in this field. Is the department going to give them money or maybe to recommend them to certain departments for them to start their own businesses when they are skilled in this production? So that maybe they cannot come back and to jail. The only thing is that they must be kept busy doing something that is going to give them money. Thank you.
You can respond.
Can I start with the last one whilst they are still preparing for the others? The department does not give offenders money upon release to go and start their own businesses. However, we work with different partners, including the private sector, trying to encourage them to first, not necessarily give them employment, but first give them a learnership and allow them to go and work in their companies. So that after they are satisfied through the learnership, they may decide whether to employ or not employ. We have pockets where this is working very well. In the area of the Eastern Cape, in the PE area, we had a Inguku placement agency, which is led by ex-offenders working closely with Business Against Crime, where they visit our facilities and check what type of skills are we producing in correctional centers and decide that they need this and that skill in their own business. This we have now extended to the Gauteng region, where last week we had a tour of different business people, again organized by Business Against Crime. They visit our workshops and they check what we produce and what is it that they need, so that they can identify people that can work for them. So here and there, we link them with interested
organizations that may be able to assist them. We realize that these pockets are not enough to sustain a number of offenders that we say we have trained, and therefore we want to break the cycle of crime. That is why in our plans as a department, we have a plan to come up with a trading entity where the whatever that is produced by offenders, be it artwork, be it furniture, be it whatever, can be sold, and there's a portion that can then be kept aside for that particular offender or the group of offenders that are involved, so that when they leave, you are then able to give them something. But currently, within our vote, we don't have money that we can say this is specifically meant for offenders after release. That is why we are also looking at strengthening our social reintegration program, so that as we try to reintegrate people back into society, we work with organs of civil society, we work with the private sector, we try to ensure that they are not lost to the community. The challenge with government currently is that when you apply for government, whether you are skilled or not skilled, you have to declare your criminal record. And government on its own would discriminate against you because of a criminal record. And that is an issue that government needs to look into, so that as government we lead by example. We say the private sector can take them. They are good enough for the private sector, but they are not good enough for government. So that is a matter that as government we really need to look into. In correctional services, we are trying by condoning the petty crimes. Certain crimes, you look at what the person does and you apply to the accounting officer and then you condone and you can appoint the person. But the fact of the matter is, as part of government, we are bound by the legislation that governs the country, which is a matter that government really needs to look into.
Honourable Chairperson, the Honourable Member, one of the members asked the question on the monitoring system that we've mentioned, and perhaps just an explanation on that. The department is working towards a corporate performance management information system that will provide information that is reliable, that is useful, and that is timeless. But that the development of such a system goes hand in hand with the IT infrastructure and the refinement of operating systems within the department. So that's the ultimate objective. However, based on the opinion from the Auditor General in terms of performance information of the department, where they have mentioned in the findings that in certain areas the information is not reliable, we then decided to have an interim tool, what we call, what we've just presented, the annual performance plan. We will have a capturing tool for the annual performance plan. And that will be in the form of an Excel spreadsheet, but the information that is captured there, once it is in, it will be closed. And that will give us information that we can feel comfortable with, that has not been changed within a period of time, but that we can use to give to executive management and say, this is the performance of the department for a particular quarter based on what we have in our annual performance plan, so we can utilize and use that information as reliable information. So that is part of explanation of the monitoring system that we will have. An interim tool that will assist us in measuring our performance as a department against our annual performance plan. So that is that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The question
on diversity management as raised by the Honourable Member, whether the diversity management that is mentioned in the APP includes the employment equity. On the APP, we only have the monitoring and evaluation of implementation of the diversity management framework, which all regions have been trained on. So the expectation now is that everybody implements the diversity management framework. However, we do have the current employment equity plan, which spans from 2010 to 2014 that we're implementing. And also, regions and head office have been trained on that equity plan. It has been made, they have been made aware and familiarized with the equity plan. It is not in the APP, but it is in the operational plan of the branch corporate services. That is the implementation of the employment equity plan for 2010 up to 2014. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. The other question was the payment to municipality services. We always pay on time, because if we are not only the payment to the municipality services, if we got all the documentation correctly, we pay on time. Whenever we don't want not to contravene the act that is saying all payment must be made within 30 days. So the honorable member must be assured that definitely we will not be on the red of not following the act. Thank you.
The other issue, honorable chairperson and members, on the accessibility of our centers. The new facilities that are being built are having conditions for accessibility for disabled people. But at the same time, the old facilities, we're working towards creating conditions for access to be easier, because those facilities were created and established in the past, and therefore we found it expedient that we deal with the issue of accessibility. But the progress is not as fast as we'd have intended. But be as it may, this is also hamstrung by the slow and sluggish manner of public works. So we are dealing with this matter. It is a concern, because we do have facilities where it's not accessible. A case in point is Yokop. We've seen the question of accessibility is not there, and most of the centers is a cause for concern. The issue of SADC, the branch SADC, Department of Correctional Service, like any other department, we form part of an international organization that are in the similar field. We form part of the International Correctional Services organization. We form part of the Africa Correctional Services Association, and therefore we form part of the regional dimension of services that are done by correctional services. What is key to explain here is that we're not going to provide our inmate to go and work in those facilities, especially in the field of whether we are working beyond our mandate. We are working within the mandate of the department. There is international relationships that we need to maintain. But as it may, with respect to the support that we mentioned in the bilaterals and that take place between our countries and other countries, there are requests that come from other countries in terms of training. They want to see our systems, how we implement them, and then we exchange forms and methodologies of how to run a correctional facility. In most cases, like countries that we visited, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Namibia, our counterparts want to learn on our parole system, reintegration, community corrections, land use, for example, for self-sufficiency. These are things that we share with them. But at no stage do we take our inmates, but we take our officials to share experiences with them. Nor do we put money into those countries. What we do is that in the event there are obsolete equipment that we don't use, we do donate them, but it's clearly defined as to what type of things that we do donate to those countries. With respect to the SADC that we've mentioned, SADC is a vibrant region wherein there is a need for inter-regional connectivity. There is a talk that is taking place in terms of transfer of inmates
That also is being discussed within the cluster, as to what category or which categories of inmates will qualify as and when the state, South Africa, decides that there is a need for us to transfer inmates. At the moment, we don't transfer any inmates between ourselves or any other country in the region. The Honorable Member of the Committee asked for clarity on IT and ICT as to how is this going to happen on the back of the fact that we said CETA is not helping. There are areas where it will still need CETA for purposes of connectivity and as well for the skills that they have. But these will be underpinned by clearly defined service level agreements. There will be areas wherein we'll seek assistance for IT with other stakeholders in the private sector. In the main, for example, we are working with Telkom. We are working with other state agencies that are good in terms of the ICT area. But we need to indicate here that IT and ICT will be critical for the department because we share information. For us to be able to know what's happening, IT becomes the backbone of everything that we do. But in the main, we'll lessen the role of CETA. We'll use the instruments, but in areas where we feel they'll add value. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. There's a question that was asked on people that work in community corrections. The people that work in community corrections offices are full-time employees of the Department of Correctional Services. They are not on a stipend. They are employed as correctional officers. And the different professionals that we use in community corrections offices, including the social workers, they are full-time employees of the department, and they are part of the establishment as the numbers were given. Thanks.
The last question, which we didn't answer, is the piracy, which the Honourable Member asked. There are discussions that have been taking place since 2010, taking into account the high levels of piracy in the eastern coast, the Somali, which is extending to the south and threatening countries in SADC in particular. We want to indicate here that there have been ideas that have been mooted that in the event that they are arrested in the high seas, should they be incarcerated in South Africa? We as a country have not taken a position. But we are not ready for this until there is a policy from the state as to how to deal with this matter, especially if these people are not arrested by our own forces in the high seas. At this point in time, there is no foreigner in our facility who has been arrested on the issue of piracy. So it's a matter that is also being discussed within the cluster, the defense in particular, who are involved in maritime safety, and ourselves and the police. It's an issue that needs to be given due attention. But for the moment, the threat of piracy is taking place on the north of Mozambique and the islands. But as and when the state takes that decision, we shall be, from a policy perspective and from a government perspective, be involved in one way or the other. But for the moment, we're not incarcerating any foreigner involved in piracy. Thanks, Chair.
Chair, Commissioner, Honourable Members. Let me take the opportunity to thank the National Commissioner and his team for their presentation and the engagement. We will go through the documents and any other issues that we may raise. We will raise it during the coming policy debate on correctional service. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.